Did you know that a couple of weeks ago, while everyone was looking the other way with the U.S. election and even the Synod, Pope Francis published an encyclical? It is titled Dilexit Nos, which translates to He Loved Us. And it is Francis's fourth encyclical after Lumen Fidei, Laudato Si, and Fratelli Tutti. The first line of the encyclical, from where it gets its name, comes from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verse 37, where it says that we can overcome adversity through Him who loves us. The Pope said that he felt we needed to learn more about the human and divine love of the heart of Jesus. He wanted to write a document about the devotion to the Sacred Heart because he believes it is good for us to meditate on the various aspects of the Lord's love. He's not wrong. The Pope sees Dilexit Nos as deeply connected with Laudato Si and Fratelli Tutti. He said that it is by drinking of that same love that we become capable of forging bonds of fraternity and recognizing the dignity of each human being and working together to care for our common home. The Pope is not telling us that all we need is love, but that all we need is the love of Christ, that we need to know we are loved and to go and love others. He writes, Christ's love can give a heart to our world and revive love wherever we think that the ability to love has been lost. Let us go to love and rekindle our devotion to the Sacred Heart. Hello and welcome to an all-new Salt and Light Hour. I'm Deacon Pedro, and sitting here with me is Germaine Bagnall. Germaine, welcome back to the program.
Always a pleasure to be here with you.
Yes. So I think I've told you, I don't think we've spoken about this on the air, but when was the last time you were visiting your app store?
Visiting my app store? I was on there a few days ago, but I have to admit, I have a really old phone. So going it's almost pointless these
painful.
Days.
Okay, well, when we're done this conversation, you're going to open your app store of choice and you're going to look for the new... not that new anymore, Salt and Light Plus app that is now ready and working for Android, for iOS. If you have an Apple TV, you can throw it on the Apple TV, Amazon Fire. Okay. So, and now you can have access to all our Salt and Light documentaries, our live stream, all our, well, you know the deal, Salt and Light Plus, that's how... how you best stuff. Consume our programming.
Excellent. Well, you know what? Maybe the phone is a little old, but the iPad is up to date. So absolutely. I know where I'm going immediately after this conversation.
Yeah. So again, I'm saying this every week because people now, they know, especially if they're listening outside of Canada or outside our broadcast area, you do not have access to Salt and Light Television on your TV, on your cable package. You can just download the app. And for a small subscription, $39 Canadian a year, you can have full access to all our live stream and programs and everything. So that's a great way to support Catholic media.
That is amazing. That is less than a week of coffee if you went out every day.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's absolutely. Well worth it. Put aside your macchiatos or whatever gets you and, you know, get pumped up on the Christ-filled content.
Yes, get the spiritual macchiatos over here. So there you go. That's what Germaine's going to be doing right after we're done talking. Germaine, Jillian's going to join us today as well with her wonderful segment, What I Learned From My Kids. She never tells me ahead of time what she's going to talk about, so I cannot do a little teaser, but it's always a good lesson, something that she has learned, yeah, from her children. We just had Halloween, we're getting ready for Advent, so I'm sure that there's lots of lessons in there for Jillian to share with us. So What I Learned From My Kids in about 5 minutes with Jillian Cantor. And then Germaine, you're going to be back with two books,
as per usual, one for the little ones and one for the bigger ones.
Okay, good. As always, we always look forward to your book suggestions. And I love the fact that you're not just pumping up new books. Some of them are new, but some of them, they've been around for a while. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't read them or talk about them or promote them. So that's book ends with Germaine in about 15 minutes. And then Germaine, I'm sure you're very familiar with the concept of the Beatitudes.
I am indeed.
Okay, I'm not going to test you and see if you can name all the eight Beatitudes.
Oh, I was going to say I'm familiar with them. I did not sign up for the pop quiz. I did not sign up for the pop quiz. Okay, hold on, let me get on ChatGPT and then we can go.
But I'm sure you can at least come up, you know, the pure in spirit, the blessed are the meek, blessed are the humble of heart, blessed are the peacemaker. You know, like you could probably think of the general.
Of those.
We're not going to test you. But anyway, there's a new book by, I'm also going to talk about a book, Canadian author Eugene O'Coyne wrote a book published. It's called The Beatitudes. Okay. And this is the kind of book that Germaine, you would like. It's called 8 Steps to Inner Peace and Happiness.
I'm marking it down now.
You're looking it up. Okay, so The Beatitudes, 8 Steps to Inner Peace and Happiness. And what I like about this is that he presents the Beatitudes as a progression. So like they're actually, you start with the first one and it leads you to the next one and then the next one and the next one and ultimately to the 8th one. And then he has a whole section on how to kind of find your own beatitude and how to make that work in your life and help the world, make the world a better place. So I'm really looking forward to speaking to Eugene O'Coyne about this. There's some questions I have because some things that I wasn't quite, you know, I'm not smart enough to understand. So we're going to be talking about the Beatitudes in about 25 minutes. And then at the end of the show, we're going to reconnect with a singer-songwriter. She's Canadian, but she lives in L.A.
Okay.
And goes by the name of Kay Clarity. She's been on the show a few times. You might remember she had a project called Kasha and Myrrh, where she was like doing like 3 different albums with different styles, like chant and then classical. And then I don't know if you remember.
Vaguely. Tell me about that one.
Yeah. So that's her, Kay Clarity. But she also does a lot of pop music, like pop, like Cyndi Lauper. Think Cyndi Lauper 80s pop.
You know, it's a very, very, in the year 2024, this is a very relevant comparison that we're using.
Well, yeah, I hope that some people will know who Cyndi Lauper is. Anyway, I always think, you know, 80s pops. And so that's kind of and her idea is that, you know, people are listening to pop music. It doesn't mean that the lyrics, you know, they're not necessarily songs that you can use at mass, but they're not intended for that. They're to listen to, and they're good messaging. So she's been writing a whole bunch of new music, and I don't even know, because she doesn't always use the same name. She goes by Kay Clarity, or she goes by Pax Paloma.
That's great.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I think she's because she wants to. I was going to say she wants to be like stealth, you know, like kind of under the radar, just like good music. It doesn't really matter who the artist is. It's just good music to dance to.
Yeah. So like nice Catholic pop music out there.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to listening.
Get out there in the culture. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it is. So we look forward to speaking with Kay Clarity at the end of the program. And to listen to some of her music today. If you're not going to be around to listen to the whole show, you know, you can go to our website, somedia.org, and that's where you can listen to the program. You can also podcast the show wherever you get your podcasts. And now with the new Salt and Light Plus app, you can also listen to the Salt and Light Hour on the app. So there's really no excuses for not listening to the show. So Germaine, I think we're good. Ready for a song? Here is Kay Clarity with Carry On from her new album, Songs for the Apocalypse.
Oh, the sun was looking like fire today. Ash and smoke in my lungs today. Burning up all that we had to say. Muted before the night breaks today. Soldiers, and we carry on, cry out. is the stuff of life, so they say. But hope is coming in spades today. No buckled knees in the face of grace. We are tired now, but the weather won't stop us. We are soldiers. We are soldiers and we carry on, we cry out, 'cause together we're stronger. We are soldiers and we carry on, carry on.
That was Kay Clarity with Carry On from her album Songs for the Apocalypse. And we're going to be speaking with Kay Clarity at the end of the program, so I hope that you can still be around for that. And now it's time for What I Learned from My Kids with Jillian Cantor. Jillian, welcome back to the program. It's good to see you.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm sure I was telling Jermaine earlier that we've had Thanksgiving, we've had Halloween, we're starting, probably already getting ready for Advent. Mm-hmm. Kids are in the middle of school. There's probably lots of lessons.
Yes, indeed, there always are. And this one comes to us courtesy of Leo, and it's a little bit about the power of the pause. Exciting.
Okay, yes, okay, here we go. The power of the pause. The pause, not the Paw Patrol pause.
No, different pause. The actual P-A-U-S-E pause.
Okay, taking a pause.
I paused dramatically there.
That's what that was. I thought you didn't know what you were going to say. Okay, try it again. So this one comes courtesy of Leo, and it's about?
The power of the pause.
Okay.
Pausing. Okay, so the Cantor family we're not totally committed to a family rosary. It can be hard to get to just with the scheduling and the kids everywhere and just even the length of it. So we do our best. So we had settled in for, we're going to do 3 decades whenever we can. So this particular evening, Jane was in charge of leading the mysteries. Mm-hmm. So she starts by saying, well, she didn't start this. We're now into the second joyful mystery. So she's about to begin the second joyful mystery. And before she can say the visitation, Leo pipes up with a very loud, the hesitation. So we laughed, but not at him. We laughed with him. That was funny. And then we were kind of musing out loud. Okay, well, what would that be? Scripturally, what is the hesitation? So one of the kids suggested, well, maybe that's when Joseph doesn't know what to do, when he learns that Mary is pregnant.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he has the quiet plan of divorcing himself from her, going away from her.
Yeah.
But in that pause, in that moment of hesitating before any action is taken, he has this dream and the angel Gabriel appears to him and says that this is your beautiful part in this big and wonderful plan that God has for you. And so, we're like, oh my gosh, yes, that's totally it. It follows the trajectory of the storyline too. So it totally works. The hesitation, new mystery. Can we start that up? Who do we call? Who do we tell about this?
Tell the Pope.
We think this is good. But I mean, that Joseph paused, perhaps with this plan to give up and go away, but still allowing himself to be open to something big. Now his something big is obviously an angel coming to him to tell him, like, this is the plan, this is what's going to happen. And Joseph being very open to that can allow himself and his heart to be changed. Where he was once going to leave Mary, he could now be receptive to, oh, this is now what's happening. This is the result of the hesitation, is being allowing yourself to be open and to go with God's will. So then, you know, now here's the question for us. Where do we need to pause? What's the power of the pause in our own lives? What are those things that we want to quietly distance ourselves from, but that we take to the Lord in prayer and discernment, only to find his will for us in all of that? Where are we hesitating? And what will be the result of that? So I think there's a very practical aspect of it, right? Like, there's discernment, there's consideration, there's counting the cost of it. And it was followed up, I guess, it was the next week after this had happened. It was in the Gospel of Luke. It was one of the day's readings. I think it was from Luke 14. It says, "For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it?" And I was like, that's the hesitation. That speaks to the very, maybe the more conservative thinkers and the doers who just need the time to pause and to reflect on something before they go ahead. I think you'll find in scripture and even just modern day testimonies, there's a lot of people who have a conversion experience that's from point A to point B, and it's very quick. It's a radical conversion and they know what they need to do. But there's a lot of people whose brains and hearts don't operate that way, that we do need the hesitation and we do need the pause. But what does that say of us? If these are the experiences that we're hearing about and reading about in scriptures, if we're not having that same radical feeling and very quick conversion, are we not a part of it? Is this, are we doing something wrong? And I would say, no, this is it. This is the power of the pause. It's the hesitation. It's the calculation. It's allowing yourself the quiet to discern, to consider, and just to allow God to speak to you in the manner that he knows that you can understand and accept. And that's it's beautiful. It's beautiful to be a part of it, no matter how it happens, whether it's the fast and the furious or whether it's the quiet and the discernment and the hesitation. So yeah, the second joyful mystery, the hesitation.
I like that.
I say we allow ourselves the hesitation. It's not doubt. And it doesn't mean you don't trust God. It just means that you're ready to listen.
Yeah, it's interesting because at the same time, we laud Mary that she went in haste. And I always think like, oh, that was maybe a little too impulsive.
That was too hasty, Mary.
Too hasty, too hasty. And the Pope even said, you know, like Our Lady of Haste. Like that's a good thing. But you're right. The balance between when do we move in haste and when that's important and when we need to. I just finished doing a talk a few weeks ago about patience and patience as a virtue. And there's so many scripture passages to talk about, not hesitation, but about patient endurance and waiting. You know, how much are we waiting on the Lord or waiting for the Lord? And so maybe that's not us being hesitant, but it's like, it's good to wait until the Lord is ready so that we're not impulsive, which is not necessarily a virtue.
Your faith can be a slow-moving vehicle, and that's okay. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah, I think most often, most often it is a slow-moving vehicle. And I'm just impressed. Leo is six?
He's 6 years old, yeah.
How does he even know a big word like hesitation? That's what I want to know. What books are those kids reading?
I don't, he collects a lot of things and stores it in his brain and surprises us with them in just very funny moments.
Yeah, that's very funny. So thank you, Leo, for that insight and for unpacking it with the story of St. Joseph and his hesitation. Thank you so much. I'll have to hesitate before going Christmas shopping in the next couple weeks. How's that?
Just, I mean, there's lots of areas we can hesitate, just especially, Christmas season, crazy times, busy hit times.
Hesitate. So yes.
I wish for you a lot of hesitating.
A lot of hesitating. All right. May hesitation be in your future.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jillian. Jillian Cantor, always learning something from her smart kids. She's the wife of David and the mother of Joseph, Henry, Annie, Clara, Jane, and little Leo.
Hey guys, it's Dana Catherine, and you're listening to the Salt and Light Hour with Deacon Pedro.
You can watch Salt and Light Television on our streaming platform, Salt and Light Plus. You can find out how to subscribe at slmedia.org and also download our new Salt and Light Plus app at your favorite app store. And now it's time for Bookends with Jermaine Bagnall.
Hello,
ready to go. You're still hanging around.
Yes, yes. Eagerly awaiting my time to share the newest set of books that I have for our listeners.
So we're looking forward to hearing about the two books, one for the little ones, one for the not so little. Which one are we doing first?
We'll start with the little ones.
Okay.
And I think the timing for this is really good as the school year is going on and kids are starting to prepare for their experience and encounters with the sacraments. Mm-hmm. So this first book is called The Night Before My First Communion, and it's by Natasha Wing. She is a pretty prolific children's author, tons and tons of different books. But this one stood out to me, obviously being the First Communion. It's a really great presentation for kids to become excited about their First Communion. It's very poetic and rhymey through the entire thing. For those literary people, it's very A-B-A-B as you go along. And it's the story of this little boy, little girl, siblings who are preparing for their First Communion. And the whole poem, it kind of touches on like the nerves they might be experiencing, the experience of their families coming together, and the joy of actually receiving the host. And, and it's just simple and it's cute. The art by Amy Wummer is amazing. There's a bit of nostalgia to it because her art is pencil, watercolor with ink. So it kind of has this older feel that I grew up with, like the Richard Scarry sort of books, sort of thing.
All right.
And it's just got this beautiful look. So for people with, you know, families with their young children who are preparing for First Communion, I think this will be really great. And, you know, kids who get their communion there here in Ontario, grade 2, around 7 years old, maybe the book might be too young for them, perhaps, but this is a great thing for parents to read as part of the lead up, you know, insert it when they're toddlers, insert it when they're in kindergarten, grade 1. And so they've already have that sort of built in excitement for it. I think it's a really good, feel good, simple book to read for children, and one that I think that they could quickly take up on themselves and want to read.
Okay, that's great. So The Night Before My First Communion by Natasha Wing, illustrated by Amy Wummer, published by Grosset and Dunlop, which is part of Penguin Random House. Okay, great. So that's a great book, as a lot of children, as you said, are probably now starting their preparation for the First Communion next year. Okay, great. And the book for the little at heart.
For the little at heart, this one, we're going a little bit further back, although this was published in 2023, the author is Pope Saint Leo IX. And this book is called The Battle of the Virtues and Vices, Defending the Interior Castle of the Soul. So if anybody has read, say, the Screwtape Letters, where there's a bit of like these characters and dialogue, it's kind of like that, or rather maybe that's where that Screwtape Letters kind of got the format from.
Okay.
So the core theme of the book is the internal struggle of every person faces between vice and virtue, and how these opposing forces impact our journey to holiness. But the way Pope Saint Leo broke this down is each chapter is a virtue and its corresponding vice speaking to a person's soul, and they're personified in pairs, and they're making a pitch to the person's soul as to why that soul should embark on that given virtue or vice. You know, if there's gluttony, is just saying, oh, you know, there's abundance of food, you should have it, it's beautiful flavor. So there's gluttony, and then you have temperance that is more fit and explaining the virtue of like your health and your vitality and that sort of thing. And it's really interesting in how they pair. And for me, one of the biggest pairings that I would say is like pride versus humility is as Christians,
right?
You know, we know the importance of humility because what? Pride cometh before the fall. Yeah. And that one was really, really important. And it talks about, you know, by cultivating humility, like how much that opens a person up to God's grace, fostering a heart, you know, that listens, trusts, and grows. So it's a really interesting story and telling of how we can engage with the different virtues and vices.
Now, because it's written that way, do you think that it would be appealing to a younger audience, or is it still kind of very high level ideas?
I think it depends on the individual person, but I think even from middle school, they could start reading this and tackling this. I believe so.
What an interesting idea. Because
if they've been going to a, like, Catholic school, and they've been going to church and these sort of things, they would have been exposed to the idea of virtues, the idea of vice. And I think the way it's told, it will, particularly younger readers would grasp that. The whole time I was reading it, maybe this speaks to my generation, but I was picturing like those old Bugs Bunny cartoons with like a devil and an angel on each shoulder.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
And that's why it really spoke to me. So
what an interesting idea.
Yeah, I think that there's definitely something there in terms for the different ages that can get a hold of it. But,
yeah, okay, interesting. Yeah. Maybe there's a possibility for an adaptation of the same concept, but for younger. There are any aspiring authors listening, go look Saint Leo the Ninth. So this is a book that he wrote, and you listen to an audiobook?
I listen to the audiobook because I have a very long commute these days, but you can also read it. It's not a long read by any stretch.
Okay.
And the great thing about each chapter is the pairing of a vice and a virtue. So if a person is open to it, they could read a chapter and reflect on it. It'll the book, it touches on scripture. So there's a chance to
really
ponder and reflect, and you don't have to go straight through. Maybe there's a particular... Yeah. Vice that you're grappling with right now.
Yes.
Dive into that chapter.
Yeah, no, I love that. Okay, so The Battle of the Virtues and Vices, Defending the Interior Castle of the Soul by Pope Saint Leo the Ninth, published by Tan Books, 2023. He didn't write it in 2023, but it was published by Tan Books in 2023. So that's great. And then
wrote it about a millennial prior.
Yeah, exactly. thank you very much. I might look that one up. That sounds very interesting. Jermaine Bagnell, thank you for sharing these ideas with us today.
You're welcome. I hope everybody gets as much out of them as I did.
I'm sure they will. Jermaine Bagnell, our book contributor. He's also the producer of the Salt and Light production, Working in Faith. You can watch that through the Salt and Light Plus app and also at our website, slmedia.org. And you can follow him at Jermaine Bagnell. Coming up in our second half hour, the Beatitudes as 8 steps to inner peace and happiness. And we reconnect with singer-songwriter Kay Clarity. So stay tuned. Welcome to the Salt and Light Hour Part 2. I'm Deacon Pedro. I think it's fair to say that everyone wants happiness. I also think it's true to say that God wants everyone to be happy. Author Eugene O'Coyne explains that this happiness that we all seek can be called beatitude. We all want beatitude, and so Jesus' beatitudes are actually steps towards that true happiness that we all long for. That's why he titled his new book, The Beatitudes, 8 Steps to Inner Peace and Happiness. And so, to learn more, I'm now joined by Eugene O'Coyne. Eugene, welcome to the Salt and Light Hour. It's so good to meet you.
Thank you so much, Deacon Pedro. It's great to be here.
Yes. So tell me, what inspired you to write the book?
Well, I spent most of my career in human resources management, dealing with what we call people issues and mediating many conflicts.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
And, you know, I've seen a lot of people suffering, craving inner peace. And since my retirement, visiting dying patients at the hospital, more of the same. So, you know, I always wanted to tell them about Jesus's simple solution to many of the hard emotions we all go through. sooner or later, how his Sermon on the Mount brings out our greatest potential, but couldn't always say that in that context. So now that I'm retired, I decided, well, I should write to help people discover in a new way Jesus's 8 steps to inner peace, joy, and how to become the best version of ourselves. So I'm a big fan of Jesus's teachings.
Yeah. So this, are you saying that these are, you discovered, can I say that you discovered this years ago throughout the years as you, through prayer and conflict resolution?
Through prayer and
I'm just interested. I guess I'm interested in the idea that the Beatitudes are the road to happiness. Like how did you make that connection?
Well, another word for beatitude is happiness, isn't it? And
okay.
Happiness, I think, well, it's not that. Happiness is a way of being freed from serving our ego, from being a lifelong slave of our ego. We spend our whole life trying to satisfy our ego, and we get pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an impossible task to satisfy the ego. I think the most traveled road to happiness is just about everything except God's way.
Yeah. It? Right.
I call it a busy two-lane highway to nowhere. Because one of the lanes is to get trying to get more and more of what the ego wants, and the other lane is trying to get less and less of what we don't want,
mm-hmm.
like solving our problem. We think sometimes, oh, if I only I didn't have this or that problem, I'd be so happy. But it's a double-lane highway to nowhere because happiness is always in Tomorrowland. It's always just around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I mean, any parent listening, you know that your preschoolers always dream of school, don't they? And the students dream of graduation. Workers dream of retirement. And retirees long for their long ago days when they were so healthy.
Right.
They're all dying to live. And they all feel they're missing out.
Right. Yeah. Can you maybe, obviously we want people to get the book and read it, all of it, but can you maybe give us one example with one of the Beatitudes and how you would explain how that Beatitude maybe addresses, because you say that they address the root causes of all our problems.
Yeah. And how you're asking, how do the Beatitudes,
how do they go to the root of what causes our problems, right?
Here's a real life example.
Yep.
I mentioned earlier that I visit dying patients at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
One day I was asking a man who'd been in palliative care for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I asked him, what's the happiest moment of your life? To my surprise, he said, last 2 weeks. I said, really?
Wow.
For 2 weeks. I said, how so? Well, he said, in our family, we don't talk too much about important things like love and care. It's not part of our vocabulary. There have been some infighting and so on. And he said, people are telling me things in the last 2 weeks that I've never heard of. There were a lot of mournfulness about the past. A lot of people, a lot of forgiveness, a lot of peacemaking, a lot of the Beatitudes that Jesus talked about. And this guy had tears in his eyes. He was clearly living the Beatitudes.
Right.
It was the happiest moment of his life. Imagine that. And I could tell you more examples. One lady, she couldn't say the Lord's Prayer with me on her dying bed before not having prayed for so long.
Right.
And she was in tears asking God to forgive her. And I said, I think you've just given me the best example of what Jesus meant by happy are those who cry, those who mourn.
Right.
And she had tears of joy in her eyes. That's beatitude. Those are
right
examples.
Yeah, that's a good example. I remember reading that in the book because I think that happy are those who mourn or blessed are those who mourn is one of the more difficult ones to understand.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you use, and of course I know because it's in scripture, one version of the Beatitudes says happy are those and the other one says blessed are those.
But
to use the word beatitude almost as a replacement for the word happiness, because you even encourage the reader to find our own beatitude. What do you mean by that?
Okay, because the way we define happiness usually is not the same as the way God would define happiness.
Of course.
I think if we listen to Jesus, happiness is to be freed from serving our ego. That's beatitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why I think the biggest obstacle to happiness is the search for happiness. Because the moment we're searching for it, it's back to being about us. And Jesus is telling us that happiness is about trying to give it to others.
Right.
Look, here's a quick example. In the Bible, the Old Testament, New Testament. The Old Testament is about, we get the Ten Commandments, but the Ten Commandments don't make you happy. What they do is they prevent you from doing things that will make you and other people very
Right.
unhappy.
Right.
Not to do things in order not to be unhappy is only half the formula for beatitude. Jesus came and gave us the positive beatitude, the positive way to for active happiness, and it's all listed in the Beatitudes. I think the first three Beatitudes really bring us to the basement of our being, where we come to terms with our poverty of spirit, and we mourn about it, and we feel small and meek about it. That's like going into our basement, but that's where the elevator, God's elevator, is. We have to take it from the basement. From there, we develop a hunger for God, for God's ways, and so on, and
Right, for
that's
righteousness.
that and that's the fourth beatitude. And of course, with hunger, we come to realize that with the hunger for righteousness, now, we
Righteousness.
realize that we have to our own we have to contribute to that by being merciful to people, by forgiving people. And that's Jesus was really big on the word forgiving. Another word for it is mercy. Blessed are the merciful. Being and forgiveness, you shed a big burden of grudges and jealousy, and it purifies the heart. Blessed are the pure of heart. It locks in. Every step is a progression. And if you purify the heart, we get inner peace, and we're natural peacemakers, and so on and so on. But I the more I was looking at the Beatitudes, the more I was thinking, hey, there's a logical progression. It all builds up to the broad picture at the top of the stairs, which is love, because the less ego we have, the more room there is for God. And what's God? God is love. Therefore, at the top of the stairs is love, universal love.
Yeah, and that was new information for me too. The idea is that they build one on the other. And you, I mean, I'm glad you just explained it. But people can get the book and go a little more in depth in it. You finish the book by giving us real practical applications of how this can almost, I mean, almost can I say that it's almost like a self-help book in that sense?
It's kind of the idea, because otherwise you have to answer the question, so what? And in my the third part is the answer to the so what. And the very quick answer to the so what is that we're all wired differently. And in my third part, I help people to realize how we're all different from one another. We're all wired differently. And I ask a few questions to help people understand how they're different from one another, because we don't apply all this stuff the same way. It's not one size fits all. We do it each our own way. And that's what part three is about.
And it's and you do make it very practical. I think that that's what I liked about. So this it's intellectual, it's spiritual, it's nourishing my spirit, but it's also very practical that I can put it, I make it work right at home and my family at work. So
Great.
Eugene, thank you for that. I'm glad you finally had time to put your thoughts, your prayers into paper and to be able to share it with us in through this book.
Thank you so much for this interview. I appreciate that.
Eugene O'Coin is the author of The Beatitudes, 8 Steps to Inner Peace and Happiness, published by Novalis. You can learn more about him at eugene-o'coin.com. And O'Coin is AUCOIN, eugene-o'coin.com. I'll put that link on our site so you can find it easily. Here now is Kay Clarity with Victory Cry from her new album, Songs for the Apocalypse.
Over my coffee cup, I see a glorious morning coming, wakening my darkened eyes and breaking open the victory cry. Waiting for fire to burn the sleep of navy blue night away. Watching for spears of gold to pierce the heavy low clouds of quiet. Over the crashing waves, I see the winds of deliverance coming. Over the mountain heights, I see the battle is now arising. Standing up now, I see that these are chains of illusion leaving. We'll never make sense of cold iron bonds, but freedom is all consuming. And yeah, the fears will stop the lying. oceans run their currents hasty toward island shores. Floodgate water waits to fill the streets with a thrilling deluge. Northern lights and southerner summits hold back the confrontation. Scarlet song and blood red speech disappear in the snows of triumph. Under the rocks and stones there is a pulse of a new beginning. There's a rumble in the distance calling up from the deep to deep. From hills low and valleys wide will rise to the light beating down. Eagles in flight and falcons fierce will halt at the sound of ready. Of silence I have sensed an anticipation. Under the swollen sidewalks there's a hint of a full revival. Out of the city limits there's a light and a clear road waiting. Any small willing heart is able to stand ground.
One, two, one, two.
And yeah, the fears will stop.
That was Kay Clarity with Victory Cry from her new album, Songs for the Apocalypse. Kay Clarity is a mainstream artist whom we met in March 2020. You might remember her as she was working on a project titled Kasha and Myrrh that would feature four albums that she was calling Catholic Chapters. Since then, we spoke to Kay again in 2021 and then in 2023 as the project evolved. Last time we spoke to her, it was about 75% done. But Kay Clarity also writes, performs, and records traditional pop songs, like the ones we've been listening to from her latest album, Songs for the Apocalypse, which she records under the pseudonym of Pax Paloma. And so, to tell us more, I am now joined by Kay Clarity. Kay, welcome back to the Salt and Light Hour. It's so good to see you.
You too. Thanks for having me again.
It feels like we've been talking over the last, 3 years since you started your Kasha and Myrrh ambitious project that yes. I believe last time you said you were 75% done, maybe three out of the four albums. And now?
Yeah, now still out front, the three albums, but a lot more progress on the rosaries and hoping to have those out early in 2025.
Okay, so then just to remind our listeners, so you, it's a little bit about Kasha and Myrrh and what the four projects or the four albums are?
Yeah, so in 2020, I founded Kasha and Myrrh as a Catholic contemplative project, and the goal was to make a few different kinds of albums, but all from the same contemplative heart of the church. So that was Gregorian chant, hymns, original songs, and now these rosaries.
Okay, so then the rosary one should be coming out soon?
Yeah, I'm hesitating to give a specific date, but okay. Early 2025 is the goal. This is the thing. Sometimes God gives you, I think, an inspiration, and it's more than you realize you're signing up for, but we're going to get through to the finish line.
Sometimes God also wants us to take it slow.
Yeah. Things take time. Good things take time.
Yeah. So and is it a rosary? You said rosaries. Is it how does is it to help people pray the rosary? What how does it work?
Yeah, my idea was to have something with really beautiful sacred music underneath
Okay.
that I was composing at the time, and just speak the rosaries over top, English
Okay.
and Latin, because
Oh.
there's interest in both. And yeah, I just some of them I found a lot of the audio rosaries were really sentimental in a way that I resonate with me. So I wanted to do something that had a little more of that depth and sacred music quality.
Okay, good. Well, we won't talk about it more now because when's it out, when it's out, you'll come back and we can talk about it
Okay.
and promote it. Because I wanted to talk about, so we've been playing some of your songs, which is not the rosary or contemplative or traditional hymns or chant. So can you explain why it seems like you're like two different people?
Yeah, I do get a lot of questions because people say, why are you doing so many different things? But for me, even within Kasha and Myrrh, the goal was a bit of a pedagogy that there's all of these
Okay.
different things you can do authentically and well that can resonate with people. So I also have a folk project. I mean, not even that I would call that's me, K Clarity, doing my folk stuff. That's what I've always done. That's the deepest part of me as an artist, I would say.
Okay.
But then I just wanted to also explore the pop genre because I think current pop culture is really unhealthy. I think we can all agree with that if we're being honest with ourselves, that and it's just kind of getting increasingly worse all the time. A lot of expletives, a lot of suggestive content, the visuals are pretty awful, you know. And I just felt really convicted that this was a very powerful medium that I didn't want to write off. I think often maybe it's a struggle in people's perception of what it is to be a Catholic artist that only means a very narrow thing. Whereas the truth is that who we are is who we are at our core, and everything that pours from that place is going to be Catholic because it's
Right.
a Catholic doing it. So
Yeah, of
I,
course.
yeah.
No, because you've always been very unapologetic about being Catholic. And I would think that when we hear some of these songs, they don't necessarily sound Catholic, but that's not the point, right? I mean, the message could be a very pro-family or wholesome message, and that's what you're saying it's lacking in current pop music.
Yeah, I remember in high school, for example, there were a few songs that just really cut through the noise for me and resonated very strongly. And only years later did I realize they were songs by Christians. And you realize it's because Christians bring something different, often a tone of hope. You notice that it's not as dark and debased. That's kind of a theme. And but I would say even at the spiritual plane, you're bringing God to it, even if it's not out front. So and then I think on top of that, we have a very rich symbolic and literary tradition that we get to bring
Of
to what
course.
we make.
It's yeah, you're right. It's not just good, wholesome messaging or good music. It's smart. It's
Yeah.
intellectual. So Pax Paloma. Again, so that people are not confused because your name is K.
Yeah.
That's the persona, can I call it that? The artist that does the pop music.
Yeah, I've finally come to just expressing it as it's me with some sequins, you know. We throw some
Okay, yeah, with a wig.
glitter on the thing, and yeah, it was another instinct. I operate a lot as an instinct on an instinct. Most artists resonate with this. A lot of other people give you a funny look when you say this, but you have an intuition for what you should do, and you're not sure why. And that can be God. That can be just kind of an intuitive, intelligent process somewhere in the deeps of you. You know, it's a mystery. The muse is always a mystery. But my instinct was to have different projects. And interestingly, though, just the way algorithms work, it's actually been truly kind of a d divine inspiration because the same people who maybe want to listen to poetic folk might have zero interest in pop
Oh,
music.
of course.
And, you know, if you try to cross those wires online now, it
With
confuses.
the same name, yeah, the same artist name.
Exactly. So I think it was just for me, it was something very different, and I wanted to be able to make it very
Yeah,
different.
that makes sense.
I wanted to be able to keep doing my regular work in these other categories. So
And
that was.
is your hope for the pop music, for the Pax Paloma music, to be like mainstream, like on the radio or wherever people listen to music nowadays?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to even have concrete goals because the music landscape is changing so rapidly. There are some really cool Christian fathers who have like 5-10 million listeners on Spotify, but they're not famous in kind of a household name.
Yeah.
You know, so you can, there are so many ways to succeed. My experience generally is that if you don't want to compromise, it's very difficult to make it in any kind of traditional entertainment pathway. And for me, I just have a very low threshold for that.
Yeah.
But I think it would be a dream to reach a lot of people with alternatives.
Yeah. To go to a club, a techno club, and have your music playing there while people are jumping and they don't even know what they're listening, but you're getting through. Okay. I'm intrigued by the title of the album. I always ask people about the title, but this one's so Songs for the Apocalypse doesn't sound like the happiest. I mean, it could be, I suppose, but why that title? Where are you going with that?
Well, you know, again, intuitions is where I started. But the funny thing is, one of the songs that they're going to hear today in the show is Victory Cry. And I actually started writing that while I was having like a quasi crisis of faith reading St. Augustine, City of God, you know, 1,000 pages of St. Augustine ranting at me. And the reason I started thinking about these apocalyptic themes was because I was reading all of the church fathers and them talking about these really rich topics. So that was the root. That was where it started. I wrote a couple of the songs many years ago, and then it developed into what it is now. And I realized I think it's picking up, like a lot of artists do. You have kind of an antennae for the zeitgeist and what people are feeling and experiencing. And a lot of people have felt this real heaviness the last few years, just this profound sense of dystopia and impending doom. And so it's, as a Catholic, what I feel like we get to bring to the table is we get to look at those things soberly, but offer a path out. So it's a juxtaposition kind of, you know, we're not afraid of what's dark because we know where the light is, right? Yeah. We can talk about these things. And so it's meant to be a bit ironic. It's meant to be a bit serious, but it's also meant to like find people where they are and bring them out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We heard Victory Cry just before you came on. So if people want to go back, they can go back and listen to it again now that they've heard your explanation. Yeah, I think that even apocalypse might sound intriguing and interesting for people and might even be attractive to some of them. Are you going to continue writing? I guess you're always writing, so there's more pop music coming down the pipes. I know you're finishing Kasha and Myrrh, so do you have to like make a real clear, clean cut? It's like, okay, I can't do pop music for the next month because I'm doing the rosary? Or like, how does that work for you?
Yeah, it's multifaceted all the time. The truth is that I actually have a big, big backlog of work. I was busy to not be able to release it for a few years, but I was very busy also in the studio. So we've got another at least 10 songs on the queue, and then
working
with Bobby Rivera on some remixes, and I've got a lot of plans. So it should be good fun next year.
Okay, so for sure, we'll wait until the rosaries come out. Kasha and Myrrh, Volume 4, and then we can talk again, and then hopefully there's going to be more stuff later. So, Kay, it's so good to see you. I'm so happy to hear you. It's just good, upbeat, fun music, and it's good to see you again.
You too. Thanks so much for having me.
You can learn more about Kay Clarity and all her projects at kclarity.art. If you missed any part of this interview, you can head on over to our website, slomedia.org/podcast, and all our programs are archived there. Here now is Kay Clarity with When We Were Kids from her new album, Songs for the Apocalypse.
Why does the truth always have to hurt? Because living lies is so much easier. Covered up in all our digital work. Blaming others for lack of character. Searching for a solid answer. Head above all the banter you wanted through the surface tension, but now you're back asking a million questions. Can we go back to when we were kids, when everything was so simple? Can we go back to when we were kids, when everything was so simple? We'll
We're listening to Kay Clarity with When We Were Kids from her new album, Songs for the Apocalypse. And that will take us to the end of the program today. You can listen to the full program on our website, slmedia.org, or subscribe to the Salt and Light Hour Catholic podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. You can also now listen to the Salt and Light Hour on the new Salt and Light Plus app. That's where you can also watch Salt and Light TV and all our videos and documentaries. It's an easy download from your favorite app store. This week, let's continue to pray for peace. Peace in Ukraine, peace in the Holy Land. We should also pray that we can meditate, spend more time meditating on the love of Jesus. We should pray for the grace to not be too hasty sometimes, to let the Spirit take time when working within us. Let's pray for children preparing for First Communion and for all of us to let our virtues win those battles with the vices. And finally, let's pray that we will be able to follow Jesus' recipe to find our beatitude, our inner happiness. And don't forget to pray for each other and take care of each other. I'm Deacon Pedro, and this has been the Salt and Light Hour.
When everything was so simple.